Praise the Lord. Well, Father, I truly do thank you for being in our midst this morning. I thank you for the happy hearts. I thank you for the people who learned to dance before you, Father. And Father God, anything that's grieving the Holy Spirit, we just give that to you right now, God. We want the Holy Spirit to have its full and total and complete rule and reign here in this sanctuary. And Father God, I'm asking you to open up your children's spiritual ears so they can hear what thus saith the Lord. Open up their spiritual eyes so they can see into the spirit realm this morning. And Father God, as your angelic host goes to and fro throughout these chairs, let him minister to your saints. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In case you haven't gotten notification from the branch, they're going out of business. They're closing doors sometime in August. I had a letter they sent here for me to tell the people in the church that if you have a gift card there, you have to use up immediately or it won't be any good. So I hate to see them close, but they've been in business for 25 years. So just keep that in mind. And I think I'm going to make a copy of the letter because in the letter she tells where you can go and get church supplies. I guess there's no place around in Dover now you can get church supplies. I'm not sure. Well, while praying the other day for what I was going to teach you this morning, God told me to teach you about the secret place. And as I got to reading Psalms 91, I realized what God was talking about. Psalm 91, 1 through 16 says, "You who sit down in the high God's presence spend the night in Shaddai's shadow. Say this, God, you are my refuge. I trust in you and I am safe." That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shield you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, nor not disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around, drop like flies right and left, no harm will ever graze you. We really need to get that into our spirits this morning. Because there's a heaviness in the atmosphere, and there are some things going on in the atmosphere that if we aren't walking close with God, they're going to take us out. You'll stand untouched, watch it all from a distance, watch the wicked turn into corpse. You'll stand untouched, watch it all from a distance, watch the wicked turn into corpse. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. Because God's your refuge, the high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. See, he says, call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. So he said he's going to be beside you when the bad times come. And some are going through some very bad times right now. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. See, he says, when bad times comes, I'll be by your side. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation. Now, you need to really get Psalms 91 down into your spirit, because that's God's secret place in there. And he knows that we're going to need that secret place in what's coming upon the earth. Psalm 91 was written to guide us to Christ during the midst of danger, so that we will understand God doesn't promise a world free from danger, but he does promise his help whenever we face danger. Are you listening here? Psalm 91 was written to guide us to Christ during the midst of danger, so that we will understand God doesn't promise a world free from danger, but he does promise his help whenever we face danger. God is a shelter and a refuge when we are afraid. The writer's faith in Almighty God as protector would carry him through all the dangers and fears of life. This should be a picture of our trust, trading our fears for faith in him, no matter how intense our fears. Now, I know that something bad's coming down the road. I've been going, and it's not me, it's God showing me in the atmosphere that there's something heavy coming down the road. And I know that's why he had me teach on this secret place. The Bible says that even the very elect can be deceived in the end times. Now, I've been feeling in my spirit that many are going to lose faith in God in these days that are real close to us. And they're going to give in to the temptations of the evil one to leave God and to serve him. Because after all, the devil's going to say to you, what has God done for you? He has not fulfilled any of your promises. And things are only getting worse instead of better. And I know this is going to happen because I went through a spell yesterday. And I know, because I walk in the Spirit and because I'm a prophet of the Most High God, this is how God uses me. Yesterday, I had a spell where I said, I was walking through going back into my laundry room. And I said to myself, if it wasn't that I was so afraid of going to hell, I would become a heathen right this second. And I thought, why did I think that? So then God started speaking to me and he said, this is the way my people are going to be. Because things are going to come against him so hard and so swift and so strong that they're not going to be able to combat the evil one if they're not walking under the shadow of the Most High. And when I was going through that spell, it was a terrible thing. I felt totally lost and totally undone, and I felt like I was right in the very throes of hell. Saints of God, you have to buckle in, get down to business with God, get as close to God as you can get, and then the enemy's not going to ever be able to touch you ever again. But as long as you're out here just playing the game, being silly and, you know, just nonchalant, you know, yes, God is going to take care of us, but we have to do our part also. We have to pray. We have to fast. We have to study the Word. And we have to get in the arms of God. We have to stay in His bosom at all costs. We have to understand, too, that things are going to look really, really dark and really, really gloomy. And some of you in here are at that place right now. God has given you promises, and you're at the end of the rope, so to speak. You know, if God doesn't move, you don't know what's going to happen. And you shot your big mouth off and told everybody, well, my God's going to supply, you know. And so, you know, you're on the line. Well, you and God's on the line. They already think you're crazy. And, you know, the enemy's going to try to make sure that he lets them know you are crazy and you don't really serve a good God. So you're going to have to hold on to your faith like you never had faith. I'm going to do some teaching on faith, by the way. You're going to have to hold on to your faith like never before, because now is the time and now is the hour that God spoke about that even the very elect will be deceived. There's a lot of falling away from what I'm reading in Charisma Magazine. There's a lot of falling away in the body of Christ right now. People are leaving church right and left. Because they don't see a God that we preach about. They don't see a God that heals. They don't see a God that provides. They just see us stumbling around in the dark, more or less, not being provided for. And it's only as we stand in faith that these things are going to occur. You know, that God's promises are going to come to pass. To do this, we must live and rest with Him. Well, what I said, well, this should be a picture of our trust, trading our fears for faith in Him. No matter how intense our fears. To do this, we must live and rest with Him, is what Psalm 91:1 says, by entrusting ourselves to His protection and pledging our daily devotion to Him, we will be kept safe. By entrusting ourselves to His protection and pledging our daily devotion to Him, we will be kept safe. Daily devotion. Not once a week devotion. Every now and then devotion. It's daily devotion. Spending time in His presence. Listening for His voice. And how many of you know that Satan's been trying to steal our time right now? We used to have all the time in the world to spend with God, but all of a sudden it just seems like there's so many things that come up that, you know, that just steal your time from God. When we hide in the secret place, we are hidden from the enemy, and the enemy cannot touch us, and the forces of darkness cannot prevail against us. Therefore, we can pray in the power of the Holy Spirit without fear, because God has given us a sound mind and strength to pray in the power of His Spirit, thus defeating the powers of darkness through the anointing and indwelling presence of Christ within us, who gives us strength. As I wrote that, I said, really now, God? You know, I'm being honest. I'm being honest because you're going to get there too if you're not already there. Let's read that again. When we hide in the secret place, we are hidden from the enemy, and the enemy cannot touch us, and the forces of darkness cannot prevail against us. Therefore, we can pray in the power of the Holy Spirit without fear, because God has given us a sound mind and strength to pray in the power of His Spirit, thus defeating the power of darkness through the anointing and indwelling presence of Christ within us, who gives us strength. This is all true. But if you're like me, every now and then you say, really? You know, just be honest with yourself. Come on now. We are not Jesus Christ. Well, I think Jesus Christ must have felt that because He went to the mountain often crying and praying, seeking God's face, because He needed to strengthen His Father too, and that's why we're told to do the very same thing. See, if you're going to stick your head in the sand and say, well, I don't feel like that, that's not really what's going on, you just watch and see what the enemy's going to do to you. You're going to have to be as honest can be in this end time hour. You're going to have to be honest with yourself, with your emotions, and even with your friends around about you. Hey, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm going through. I really need some prayer covering. Well, what will they think about you? I really don't care what you think about me. I don't want the devil to defeat me. And, you know, that's why the Word of God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We need to learn to call upon one another when we're in times of gross heaviness. Right? We need to understand that as we abide in the Lord, the anointing power will get, is that where I'm at? We need to understand that as we abide in the Lord, the anointing power will give us the strength, despite our weakness, to endure the powers that we face and stand up to them. Everybody should be shouting, amen. Because when you do that, they say the holy angels come into the sanctuary, right? Read that again. We need to understand that as we abide in the Lord, the anointing power will give us, and you know, as we're staying in the Lord, the anointing power will give us the strength, despite our weakness, to endure the powers that we face and stand up to them. This is what was going on in my body yesterday, you know, is that people are not going to be able to endure the powers of darkness that's going to come against us, and they're not going to be able to stand up to it. And I said, God, if I'm feeling all this, what are those feeling that don't even know you? That are just in churches that don't even know you? What is going on with them? So we should not be judging what other people are doing. We should be asking God's favor upon them and asking God, let us see where they are at. The problem is, in the body of Christ has not been taught. They've been given words that would make them feel good so they'd stay in the church and give their money and the pastor could get great things. The body of Christ has to be taught there is a heaven and there is a hell. And there are demons. He wasn't the guy in the 700 Club, Robinson, whatever his name is. He was saying, there is demons. It's about time the world understands this. And I was like, wow, that's different for him. So, you know, people, the preachers are starting to preach, talk about this. They're starting to bring it out into the open that we do have a power that we are fighting against. And that's the prince of power of darkness. And we need to understand what he does. And we need to learn to fight him. And the only way we can fight him is by staying close to God in the secret place. I wish that I could say we were going to waltz through this thing, because that's how I used to believe. We're not going to waltz through anything, but we can do what we have to do in joy, and we can have a smile on our face, and we are not going to be defeated. You know, why would you just want to serve God and just sit and do nothing, be complacent? That isn't even fun. Serving God and getting up every morning, getting ready to fight the devil is fun. Yeah, it really is. It gives you something to look forward to. You know, I'm going to knock your teeth right out of your head this morning. You're not going to have no power and authority over me. You know, God had me awake most of the night praying for somebody. And I talked to them this morning. They called me. I talked to them. I said, are you all right last night? Yeah. I knew they weren't. And I said, well, God had me cover you in the blood all night long. Every time I looked around, he had me awake saying, wrap him in the blood, wrap him in the blood. You know, I was fighting for his life last night. Are you understanding this? And this is what this is all about. This is the fun part of serving God, fighting for souls that are out there that the enemy's trying to take out. Amen? He knows how to fight, but right now the enemy has him in bondage. But so God has to place somebody else in his life, to anybody, you know, in your life to pray for you and keep you safe. And if you're not abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, if you're not fellowshipping with him daily, he can't trust you. He can't call upon you in the wee hours of the night and wake you up to have you pray for somebody. He knows you'll go back to sleep again. Last night I said, would you please just go to sleep? Said to the person I was praying for, so I can get some sleep tonight, you know. Whatever you're doing, just go to sleep. Amen. In the secret place, we stand above the nature of the world. God's been telling us, come up hither to the third heaven. He wants us to stand above. I think that's been going on for 2 years, hasn't it? At least. He wants us to stand above what's going on in the world. He wants us to get up into the third heaven. Like when God spoke to me last night, he said, daughter, you need to get up into the seventh heaven and stay there. He said, you keep going back down to the third. Get up to the seventh and stay there. And in the seventh heaven, Satan cannot touch you in any way, shape, or form. Amen. So some of you are going to the third heaven and come back down to earth. Get up into the third heaven and stay there. That's where God called you to. If he's called you to a different heaven, then stay wherever he called you to and quit coming out of there. Quit allowing the enemy to pull you back down. In the secret place, we stand above the nature of the world, against the powers of darkness, and the Lord gives us the strength and the mercy to go on despite the frequent afflictions of the soul. The frequent afflictions of the soul, not the occasional ones. Amen? You know, if we're an army, and we claim we're an army, right? Then how come you keep jumping out of the foxhole and running away? An army sets and fights. They don't run away at every little wind and doctrine. They don't run away every time somebody looks at you crosswise. You stay and you fight the enemy, not the people, but the enemy. I have said more often this past week, well, I know it's not that person. I know it's the enemy in them that we're fighting. I've said that so often. I said, God, this is like a recording in my mind. Because, see, I guess God wants me to keep remembering it's not the person, but it's the enemy in them that controls them that they're fighting against. All right? And, you know, as you can remember that, it's not that person standing there looking at you that's coming against you. It's a demonic form that's taken over their vessel. Then you'll be able to love that person unconditionally, and you'll be able to destroy the enemy of their soul. Right? We can walk past the afflictions and the affections, and God knows our doubts and our fears. God knows our doubts and our fears. At the heart of the message of Christianity is still the heart of the secret place of drawing into his presence where joy and mercy flow like a river. God's been trying to tell us, get the joy, get the joy. And some of you got the joy this morning. That was absolutely wonderful. I thought that was wonderful that you had such joy. This is what you're going to need. How many times has God told us we're going to need that joy in this end time journey? You know, if you really have the true joy down inside of you, even though all hell has come and has broken loose against you, you can still have the joy of the Lord with you. You might get excited for a minute or two, but the joy is still there, and the joy overrides anything else that the enemy's trying to do to you. And see, that's what makes the enemy so mad, because he's fighting you tooth and nail, and he still sees you happy, and he can't deal with that. You know, and he's constantly thinking of harder ways to come at you. Because he wants that joy. He knows as long as you have that joy, he's defeated in your life. Have you ever watched somebody stealing the joy out of somebody? They pick and 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 they pick, trying to destroy that person. How sad. I look at people who do that and I say, I can't understand why you would even want to live with that kind of an attitude, always trying to destroy somebody else. I mean, I know it's a devil, but I think I'd be going for a deliverance if I was like that. To get that devil out of me so I wouldn't be destroying other souls. Wouldn't you? I mean, you know, you have control over your own body. You can go get a deliverance. You don't have to sit around and let that devil use your vessel. You know, the reason why you do that, God told me, is because they like it. And that's a shame. That is a shame. The anointing will break the yoke of anything that we are oppressed by. The anointing will break the yoke of anything that we are oppressed by. How many has found that to be true? That anointing destroys the yoke. It really does. You know, sometimes when I pray for people, I say, God, the anointing that's in me to destroy the yoke, I pass over to this person now so that that anointing can destroy the yokes that's within inside of them. And if you have that anointing on you, you should be releasing it into people when you pray for them. I mean, if you see them bound, you need to be releasing that anointing so then their yokes can be broken and they can be set free. The Bible says, freely we have received, freely we give. If God gives you anointing, don't be such a big pig and keep it. You pass it on to somebody else. And see, then God refills you with a new anointing. We need to remember always that no matter what, the Spirit of the Lord is always our strong tower. And yesterday when God was taking me in the spirit realm and show me this thing, I did not feel like there was any strong tower anywhere. I felt totally and completely defeated. And I have no reason to do this. I know it was the Holy Spirit doing this to show me what people are going through or are going to go through. So I said, we need to remember always that no matter what, the Spirit of the Lord is always our strong tower. When we are weak is when He is the strongest. Have you ever noticed when you're really down, God really comes on really strong? I mean, He just comes to your side and He just delivers you out of that mess, doesn't He? In turn, to preach of the anointed one, the one who will liberate people. All right, so this anointing then will anoint us to preach to other people under an anointing. We cannot liberate, only He can liberate. I wish the whole body of Christ would understand that you can do nothing without Jesus Christ. It takes the anointed to destroy the yoke. And I thank God that there is an anointing that stays in the Lighthouse Church and that everybody that comes in can work under that anointing. They don't bring the anointing. The anointing is already here and they work under that anointing. And under that anointing, God does all things. I thank God every time I sit there doing praise and worship. I thank Him all the time for the anointing that abides within this building. Amen. I also thank Him for the anointing that abides within me too, because you need to thank Him for the anointing He has placed within you so that you can do the works that He wants you to do. Do you understand that if you're one that can't speak very well, do you understand that without the anointing you couldn't even preach the Word of God or teach the Word of God? It takes the anointing to destroy the yoke. We cannot liberate, only He can liberate. So we must trust in the Anointed One to anoint His message to the people whom He has chosen and anoint with His healing balm of His very Word. You know, when I'm up here doing something for God, you and God calls you up and I'm doing what God tells me to tell you to do, and you don't do it, I shouldn't be affected by that, and I'm not. Because, you know, I don't control your emotions. God does not control your emotions, let's put it that way. You will do what you want to do. And all I have to be is a vessel, and all you have to do is be a vessel, that you go forth and you do exactly what God tells you to do. It doesn't matter what the faces look like. It doesn't matter what the people are saying or doing. God told me one time, your job is just to deliver what I tell you to deliver. And what they do with it is totally up to them. So whenever you minister, you guys that are ministers, whenever you minister, you're going to find people are not going to go along with your program. You know, well, it's God's program. They're not going to go along with God's program. That shouldn't affect you in any way, shape, or form. You're doing what God told you to do. Just do it and go on. I'm hearing God say, let it rest at His feet. It's not your feet that they're resting at. It's His feet they're resting at. All right? When we hide in the power of the secret place, the power of the Holy Spirit dwells within us and hides us so that we cannot be seen nor heard as we pray. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength to carry on through His Spirit in deep intercession and groanings. Solitude is a key to hearing God's voice and knowing Him and being anointed to preach His Word. If you're a prophet, you will find that you live in solitude. God does not want you mingling with everybody around about you. And a prophet has to stay alone. It is a lonely walk being a prophet. I like being alone, so it's not lonely for me, all right? Because God, you have to be alone with God so you can hear His voice continually. You know, I don't stand whenever we do praise and worship because my feet swell so bad and because of my condition. And so I wouldn't be able to stand up here and minister. So I sit there so I can stand here. All right. But that doesn't mean that I'm not worshiping. That doesn't mean that I'm not hearing God's voice. That just means I know how to reserve my strength so I can do what God has me to do. All right. The healing's coming. I know that. But until it does, I have to have wisdom. Are you listening? We have to have wisdom in all things. Let's read Matthew. Well, let's go back and read that other paragraph. When we hide in the power of the secret place, the power of the Holy Spirit dwells within us and hides us so that we cannot be seen nor heard as we pray. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength to carry on through His Spirit in deep intercession and groanings. Solitude is a key to hearing God's voice and knowing Him and being anointed to preach the Word. As I was reading that, I remember somebody in the church told me the other night that as I was up there ministering, they saw an angel stand behind me. And I forgot what the angel was doing, but the angel was standing back there doing something. And that's what was causing the deep anointing in the altar area. See, if you're really pressing into God, if you're really one of God's chosen people, the angels of God come and help you minister. You never minister alone. The angels of God, just like when you're the deliverance team, when they're doing deliverance, you never minister alone. The angels are always here with you guys to help you deliver those people. And if you feel like they're not there, do like we used to do. Just call an angel. Get in here. Get your job done. Amen? Don't let me sit here and struggle. Like I don't think we should ever struggle with any. Well, okay. God said to me last night, He said, daughter, you're laboring. And you're laboring in vain. I've called you to sit and rest at my feet. Quit laboring. Let me take care of the situations around about you. So how many of you are laboring? In other words, you're trying to take care of God's business. You're trying to do what God needs to do. And He said to me, you're wearing yourself out. You're just laboring in vain. So we were never called to labor. All right? Place it at God's feet and let God handle it. Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Why do you think you have to be out and blabbing your mouth off in front of everybody? You know, whenever you pray, you're not, you know, you want to pray about your personal self, pray to yourself about it. You know, do it in secret, and then God will take care of you. See, sometimes we get on the phone and we talk to people about things that we really need to be getting on the phone and calling heaven. You know, because you can't help me and I can't help you, but God sure can. He can do all things, but here we are with this little piece of flesh and blood needs to talk to somebody. And I'm not down, because we all need to do that. You know, we all need to be human every now and then, not 24/7. Amen. I'm just like the rest of you. Every now and then I know that I need to talk to God, but I just call somebody and say, I just need to say this out. I need to say it to a human being, and I said, I know God's going to answer me, but I just need to talk to somebody. Do you ever feel like that? Because you just feel so alone. You feel, you know God's listening, but you want to hear something. You want to know that person on the other end of the line is, isn't that awful I just said that? Because the person on the other end of the line is alive and well when we're talking to God. And He is listening to every word we're saying, and He is fixing the thing up. But if I call Brother Breton, blah, 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 to him, he can't fix it. He'll say, oh, isn't that awful? I agree with you, Aunt Barbara. Yeah, that's terrible. Say, what do I want? Somebody to agree with me? Is that what I want? You know? So let's just forget about calling any flesh and blood. And let's just go on and call God and keep it all with God. Amen? Y'all don't need to judge me. I can judge my own self. I heard you back there thinking, what's she talking about? I'm just talking about what we all do. Then the person in this room that doesn't do it, and if you don't, well, thank God. I didn't used to either, but right now we're under heavy bombardment, and we need to. All right, so the other day something came up, and I had to talk to somebody, so I called them, and they said, yep, we know it. I just thought, this is so unreal. It can't be God. And I talked to somebody else, and then we talked it through. It really was God. But, you know, I had to understand that I was hearing God properly. Sometimes you'll come to that place. You'll come to that place where you know that you know that you know that you do hear God's voice. But then you'll come to some place where, is this really God? Is this really you, God? And you just might have to talk to somebody else. You don't want them to say anything. You just want them to be a sounding board that you can talk to. And say, okay, thank you. Got it all together now. And hang up. Amen. You can do that for me too. I don't care. I don't care if you call me and you want me to be a sounding board. I'm a sounding board a lot of times to a lot of people. But it does them good to get it off their chest. Because they can't quite trust God yet. And you know, every time we do that, we aren't trusting God. Do you understand that? Then you have to repent. And say, Father, I'm sorry that I just didn't think you were enough. But he understands that. Jesus said that we are to go into our closets in private, and it is in that private place we are to pray unto the Lord, and that is a hidden place where Satan cannot hear our prayers, where we are covered by the shield of his love. You know, that's why the secret place, that's why not talking to other people is important, because when you're talking to other people, boy, Satan, just listen, he's listening to every word you're saying, and he's going to take your words and he's going to use them against you. And that's why God's saying, go into your secret place and just pray to me only. Keep your cares with me and me only. Cannot hear our prayers where we are covered by the shield of his love. When we dwell there, that is where the powers of darkness cannot pervade, for it is our private time of knowing God so well and experiencing him so well that we drink of the wine of Christ and experience the new wineskins that he purchased for us as new creations through the blood of his atoning sacrifice. Remember, I taught you last week that God wants new wineskins to pour this new wine into. I either talked to you, or it was the word, one or the other, that they put on the website. But God wants us to be brand new wineskins, because what he's doing is brand new. We've never been this way before. And if we don't have brand new wineskins by staying in his presence, he's not going to be able to pour this brand new thing into us, because we won't understand what he's doing. I hope you understood all that. God, I'm not going to repeat it. God said all that. Amen. Come on. It is only through that we can enter into the Lord's shelter, where his mercy and his river dwell, where we can sing eternal songs unto our God and King, where his shelter dwells and his river meets. It is there that we are held in the palm of his hand, his everlasting loving hand. How many of God has spoken to you and said, I have you right in the very palm of my hand? That's about the most protective place that you can possibly be. That's why Larry put that picture on the bulletin. You know, I think it's so wonderful to be held. The glory just dropped in here right now. I think it's so wonderful to be held in the palm of God's hand, where the enemy can't in no way, shape, or form come against you. And you're held in that hand whenever you're in the secret place, when you're supping with him, when you're seeking him with all of your heart, just wanting him to love you. How many of you know that sometimes we need to go into that secret place and just have God love us? Because the battle has been so fierce and so intense. And I don't know about you, but I say, God, just take me in your hand and just love on me right now, because I really need you to love me right now. Have you ever done that? You know, because human resources have messed you up. People have messed on you all day and maybe all week, and you just need to get in that shelter, into the palm of his hands, and just let him love you. I finally understand why God put man and woman together after 70-some years. We need each other. We need that love from one another. He knew we were going to need that intimate touch because he knew how terribly hard Satan was going to come after us, and we needed that human with us to protect us and lead us and guide us and direct us. And you know, Father's Day's next week, and oh, if you fathers could only understand the importance of being a father. I mean a true father, a spiritual father, not just a sperm donor, somebody called Brother Lynch a sperm donor. But I sort of stuck with me. You know, that's not what you are. You are a father. You chose to have this child. Now, love this child with every part of your being. Just love them. I had a good start in life because you all know I had the most wonderful father in the world. Beat me to death, but I loved him dearly because he only beat me to teach me the right and wrong. And see, God, doesn't God do that? Doesn't God love us so desperately, but yet he chastises us, doesn't he? And sometimes he takes us to the woodshed more often than we care to, right? But you know, that's because he loves us. And my daddy used to always say, after he spanked me, he'd say, he called me Jimmy. He said, Jimmy, I did this for your own good. He grabbed me and hugged me so tight. He said, I really do love you, honey, but you have to learn right from wrong. And he would literally cry. I was crying too because I didn't like this spanking I got. Amen. That's a loving father. That's a father who cares. And I don't see that in the fathers nowadays. I really don't. Men are very, very selfish. And I don't see mothers being mothers either. Mothers are selfish too. All they think about is their own self. I'll never forget a young lady told me about a year ago, but don't you understand it's all about me. I don't care about the kids. I don't care about him. It's all about me, what I want, what I need. And I'm going to take what I want and what I need. And I don't care what happens to the children or him. And I thought, how sad. But isn't that the theme of the world? Isn't that how most of the world thinks and acts? Aren't you glad you aren't one of them? Aren't you glad that you're a holy child of God and that you know how to give out love? And I hope you know how to receive love too. Amen. I lost my place. Where am I at here? From the creation of the world? I lost my place altogether. Are you sure that's where I'm at? All right. I read where it said, where his shelter dwells and his river meets, it is there that we are held in the palm of his hand, in his everlasting loving hand. Okay, that's where I was at. From the creation of the world, we are formed and held there in the secret place where God's mercy meets God's judgment. And together we are formed before the foundations of the world by the palm of and an all-knowing God who loves us and ransomed us through his sacrifice. From the creation of the world, we are formed and held there in the secret place where God's mercy meets God's judgment. And together we are formed before the foundations of the world by the palm of an all-knowing God who loves us and ransomed us through his sacrifice. You know, a pastor always gets, you know, ministered to while they're doing their message. And I was really ministered to by this message. And I got to thinking about my past and how I should be dead by now. I did die 3 times, but God resurrected me. But I shouldn't even be here today, but it's because of being, God kept me in the secret place. He kept me in the palm of his hand. And just think about your life. There's many bad things happened to you, I know, but God still had you in this secret place. He still held you in the palm of his everlasting loving hand. And he was there with you, even in the dark times. He was there with you. And he was keeping you safe for a purpose. We went through hard times, I know, but, you know, it should have formed us into the child of God that God was trying to get us to be. It is only through that we can experience liberation from the powers of darkness, and the anointing of the Lord will fill us to the overflowing nature of the everlasting glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants to give us overflowing anointing. He wants to give us anointing that will help us, an anointing then we have an overflow that will overflow into other people's lives, and it will help them destroy the yoke. It is only through that that in solitude we will experience most fully and appreciate most deeply and taste His river of mercy and joy, which are abounding in everlasting quantities. In other words, it's only as we stay in the secret place that we'll receive all this. It is time that we stopped grieving God's Holy Spirit and instead understand that dwelling in God's house means spending time with Him. So many people try to minister to other people and they haven't spent nothing with God. All they have is head knowledge, something they've heard somebody else say. You haven't really spent the time with God to get your own knowledge and your own anointing, and then you're out trying to minister to somebody else and you're messed up too. The blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. Amen. The reason why I quote that so often is because when the pastors in this area were trying to prove that I wasn't of God, they would always just say, well, you know, the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. So I looked that up and I studied. I said, okay, Lord, so I'm not the blind and I'm not going to lead them into a ditch. Amen. I'm a child of the Most High God and I'm going to lead them into heavenly places where I dwell. Right? It is not about how much we have experienced in life or what we have come to know through books and so on. It is time that we experience God on our knees in prayer. We need to bow our knee before the Master of all knowledge and wisdom, because He is the one who formed the earth from the foundations of the world, from everlasting to everlasting. I'm hoping that everybody, if you don't have a prayer time, I'm hoping that you get a prayer time. I don't care when it is. God doesn't care when it is. He just wants you to come into His presence. He is the King, the Alpha and the Omega, the Prince of Peace, and the Healer of souls. It is upon Him that we are to trust and obey. You know, you don't trust in a person, and you really don't obey a person. You trust in God and you obey Him. You do His commandments. And if you read the Word the way you should read it, it tells you exactly how to live life to its fullest. And it does tell you to obey your parents. You know, it tells you when dignitary, you're supposed to give them respect, right? So, you know, let's just take the Word of God and use it the correct way. Use it the way God tells us to use it. Whenever I made this statement here about we don't obey people, it's pastors try to control you. Somebody in your home might be trying to control you. They're not of God and they're trying to control you. We don't control anybody. My job, any pastor's job, any evangelist's job, is to take the Word, the truth to the people, and let the people do with it what they desire to do with it. You can't get anybody saved. I don't care what anybody says. You cannot get them saved. You can give them the Word, but it's up to them what they do with it. All right? I mean, you can get them interested in God by being Christ-like, by allowing them to see God work miracles through you. That would really pique their interest. Why don't we all do that? Why don't we all just be Christ-like when we go anywhere? And why don't we just go ahead and lay hands on people and watch them recover? You know, you never know what you're doing to people. There was somebody here the other service, and as they were leaving, I said, well, I'm so glad you came to visit with us. And they said, we had a good time, and went to shake my hand. I said, no, let me give you a hug. It was a male. And I hugged him, and when I laid my hand on his back, you know, he pulled away real quick. He said, my back got healed when you touched me. He said, I was in such excruciating pain, I couldn't even hardly sit tonight. But when you just hugged me and touched me with your hand, he said, my back was healed. See, we don't know what, I didn't know, I usually don't say, well, give me a hug to men. You know, I will shake their hand. But see, that was the Holy Spirit leading me to do that, because He wanted to heal that man's back. See, the anointing breaks the yoke. And if I wasn't abiding in the presence of the Most High God, I wouldn't have that anointing to break the yoke. Are you understanding this? See, every one of you, I mean, a lot of you, I've watched you come out of hell and watched you grow. The people that come here all the time, and I see the anointing getting stronger and stronger and stronger in you, and I'm excited about that. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to train up people in the ways of the Lord and then send them forth to do a works for the Father. Amen. There'll be some that don't want to work for God. They're just content to come and sit under the anointing and do nothing, and that's fine. But there's so many that God wants to send forth. He wants to send them out to do a works. And then when you train all those and they're ready, God will send them out. And see, this happens here all the time. We say, well, now we're down to nobody. Here they all, new group all comes in again, you know, and then we teach them. And then whenever they're ready, God sends them out. And we're down to four or five again, you know, just a staff. And here comes another group. God said I was always going to have a swinging door. He said, because you're going to minister to ministers. So I'm teaching you guys to be ministers. God is through me. And I don't want you to sit in here warm in a seat. There's too many souls out there that need what you have. I always hate to lose the people, though. I mean, I fall in love with the guys. I really do. And whenever God sends them out, I really do. I go home and cry because they were such wonderful people. And they keep in touch and they tell us how they're doing. And they're doing good. A couple fell, but they're doing good. And so don't be afraid of ministering to somebody and they leave you. You know, look at Francis and Charles Hunter. They belong to a church, and God anointed them, and they never left their church, though. They were there. I don't care where they were ministering at over the world. They was always in church, their church, Sunday morning. Isn't that wonderful to have that kind of a testimony? Because that was their church. That's where they were brought up. That's where the pastor taught them, and they got their anointing to go forth. While some will not like to hear this, it is okay, because as believers, we are to remain hidden in the secret place of the Most High, who is our shelter and our intercessor. It is through being intimate with Him and abiding in Him that we will experience most fully and aptly the growth that we so honestly desire in our souls. Do you desire to grow in your soul? Do you desire to grow in your walk with God? Well, the secret place is where it's all going to take place. Let me read that again. It is through being intimate with God and abiding in Him that we will experience most fully and aptly the growth that we so honestly desire in our souls. At a soul level where we long for and want to experience the river of God's love invading us. So the river of God's love in the secret place invades us to the core and assails us at every corner, causing us to turn from our iniquity and sin, which oftentimes we merely hold on to rather than deal with, we hold on to our sin rather than deal with it because of our humanity and pride. In that secret place, God expects us to let go of all sin and all pride and just let Him love you. I'm hearing God say, I can love you more deeply than any human being on this earth could ever love you. So there you go. Let that settle in your spirit. Sometimes we expect our spouses or even our children to love us in a way that they are not capable of loving us. Only God can love us the way we desire to be loved, because God put that desire and that void within us that we would want Him more than anything and His love more than anything. So the river of God's love in the secret place invades us to the core and assails us at every corner, causing us to turn from our iniquity and sin, which oftentimes we merely hold on to rather than deal with because of our humanity and pride. As a result of us abiding in the secret place, we can experience His joy and His mercy and His everlasting beauty and goodness. How many of you in here can be honest and say, when I don't spend quality time with my Father, my joy subsides? Because the enemy will steal that joy. As Jesus touched people, they were made whole. Likewise, we should seek the face of Christ by abiding in Him through His Holy Spirit and enter His courts in the secret place of His presence. This is the power of the secret place to be like Jesus. So just as when Jesus touched people, we should just walk by people and touch them. We should just walk by people like Jesus did, like Peter did, and they should be healed. And we get that kind of anointing by abiding in the presence of God in the secret place. Sometimes, you know, you might feel, well, I'm letting things go and need to take care of it. But maybe those are the times that you really need to be spending time with God, because God knows what's coming your way and He wants you built up in your faith so that whenever that power of darkness hits you, it won't take you off course. All right? Will you join Him in the secret place today in prayer and in worship? Ask the Lord to take you to the secret place and to remain hidden in prayer and worship so that you can intercede for the saints and those who are not saved today. Remember, you draw into the secret place by giving yourself totally to God. You know, you can be in a secret place when you drive your car. You can be praying while you're driving your car. You can be praying while you're scrubbing your floor. You know, you can be praying while you're rocking your baby to sleep. You know, you can be praying at a whole lot of different times. Well, I got to do this, but you can be praying while you're doing this and while you're doing that. You know, I don't know about you, but my mind is never idle. I'm always constantly talking to God and praying to God and seeking His face. I don't care what I'm doing. I'm always doing that. Like yesterday, we got our pool open and Gabriel thinks he has to live in there now. And, you know, of course, I won't let him go out there alone. So he kept wanting me to go out there. So I said, I'm just too busy. I can't do that. I have to study. I said, it's okay. I'll go out there and sit out there for an hour at a time. Because about as long as you want you to do. And then an hour out, an hour in, you know. And I just sat there and I just talked to God. And I just, you know, spoke my heart to Him and had Him talk back to me and ask for direction. And why not? All I'm doing is sitting there watching Him jump in and out of the water. Look what I can do. And while I'm looking at what He can do, I can be talking to the Father. You understand what I'm saying here? Psalm 81:7 says, "You called in trouble and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah." That's a seal. That means you're supposed to think about what God just said. Psalm 91:1, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." My comment on that is God's secret place is a place of safety. Psalm 18:11, "He made darkness His secret place. His canopy around Him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies." And my comment on that is God's secret place is hidden in darkness. You read those scriptures about the secret place, you find an awful lot of interesting things in there. Man cannot see into His secret place. Did you know that? Man can't see. He can't, you know, even the devil can't see into what God's doing with you in that secret place. And what God's doing this morning is He's calling you who want to be, to enter into that secret place and abide there. Not flip in and out of there, but abide there. He told me that this morning, He said, I want to give them anointing to be able to stay in the secret place. And that anointing will break every yoke of bondage that tries to keep them out of the secret place. So if there are those of you in here that you would like the anointing to be able to go into the secret place and stay there. In other words, dwell with the Most High. You'll still be going about your business, but you'll be dwelling in the place of the Most High, in that secret place. If that's any of you, you want to come up, God wants to give you an anointing to be able to abide in there. You know, the devil, when God gives you this anointing, the devil won't be able to yank you in and out of that secret place. In other words, He won't be able to take you from out of your joy, because I'm hearing God say, because He's going to stabilize you in that secret place.